The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. I will be guest hosting. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to take this time to thank you once again, my friend, for allowing me to fill in for you. I cannot tell you what an honor and a privilege it is. And congratulations one more time on Trickle Down Tyranny. It is an absolute blockbuster, maybe one of your finest books ever. To all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, to order Trickle Down Tyranny if you have not already, but also to find stories that you literally cannot find anywhere else. Obama says he's not an overspender. You can see that on michaelsavage.com. GM, through U.S. taxpayer dollars, are paying for a communist Chinese firm up there on michaelsavage.com. Facebook banks are making over $100 million on the Facebook IPO stock, only on michaelsavage.com. But the issue of this hour, and I think in many ways the issue of our time, has been Hollywood's incestuous relationship with Barack Hussein Obama. As the dear leader now barnstorms the country, hoping to raise enough money so that he can buy the election in November, he is now relying, like he has never relied before, on the support and help of his leftist friends in Hollywood. And there's a a particular person who has been very close to the Obama administration and to Obama himself personally, who's now in the news, making headlines and making waves. And that's none other than Sharon Stone. According to USA Today, this is really, I have to say, an unbelievable story. According to USA Today, Sharon Stone is being sued by her former nanny and live-in housekeeper, a woman by the name of Erlinda Elliman, who apparently is Filipino, who apparently speaks with a thick Filipino accent. Well, she worked as essentially Sharon Stone's live-in housekeeper, her nanny, for years. She now claims, after she left Sharon Stone, after she left employment at Sharon Stone's house, she is now suing Sharon Stone. Because according to Elliman, Sharon Stone told her not to speak with her, quote, Filipino accent, not because she didn't want her children to talk like you. I don't want my children to talk like you, quote unquote. So don't talk to my children. This is racism. This is flat out racism. And more than that, according to Elliman's harassment lawsuit, now remember, she's not just working at Sharon Stone's home. She lives at Sharon Stone's home. She's basically hired to be the full-time caregiver for her children and to run the home. So she doesn't go home at night. She lives in Sharon Stone's home. She lived there for years. Sharon Stone, you want to see what an intolerant, secular, progressive she is? You want to see what the likes of Hollywood is full of? You want to see the rabid anti-Christian bigots that run Hollywood today? Check this out. According to this Filipino housekeeper, Element, she says that Sharon Stone told her to her face repeatedly that she did not want Element to read the Bible in the actress's home. Do not read the Bible in my home. It is not permitted. Now, I know many Filipinos. Filipinos are wonderful people. They're very devout Catholics. It's one of the most religious, Christian, Catholic countries in the world. The famous boxer Manny Pacquiao, a Filipino, can literally cite and quote verses from the Bible. He's now in trouble because he says he's opposed to gay marriage. And so the liberal elites are barreling down on him, calling him a bigot and a racist for opposing gay marriage. But I digress. Back to Erlinda Element. This to me is unbelievable. If she's telling the truth, and I believe she is, well, Sharon Stone is a racist against Filipinos. What's wrong with speaking in a Filipino accent? She's speaking English. It's not like she's speaking Filipino or Chinese or Spanish. Notice among many in the Hollywood elite, they do not mind if Spanish is spoken to their children by their maids or nannies, but they don't want you to speak with a quote, thick Filipino accent. No. That's verboten. That's not allowed in progressive Hollywood. And more than that, she's now claiming that Sharon Stone prohibited her, forbade her from reading the Bible? Are you kidding me? You know, I've not been a big fan of Sharon Stone. I know many of you out there probably like her. My wife likes her. The first time I saw her, and that said everything I need to know about her, was when she was in Basic Instinct. And I saw her in Basic Instinct, and all of you know that scene, that leg-crossing scene that catapulted her into stardom, where she became now one of the most internationally renowned sex kittens on the planet. And that literally launched her career. And I remember when I saw that scene in the movie theater, I was shocked. I was horrified. Do you have no shame? Do you have no self-respect? As far as I'm concerned, you're just one level above a porn star. And then, because my wife is such a big fan of Sharon Stone, she drags me to see Basic Instinct 2, the sequel. And this is now Sharon Stone when she's pushing 40. This is now an over-the-hill Sharon Stone. This is not a young, sexy Sharon Stone. And I'm sitting through this whole movie, and I kid you not, it's a porno. It's a soft porno. She's naked. She's nude. I see her having graphic sex. One sex scene after another. Half the movie, she's nude. This woman is nude. And I'm looking at her. That's what she is. This is not some serious actress. And I'm looking around me. There's only four or five people in the movie theater. The movie tanked. You know you've hit rock bottom. When you're supposed to be a sex kitten, and there you are, how do I say this delicately? Bearing it all. And nobody wants to see it. You're in trouble, my friend. And that's Sharon Stone in a nutshell. She's a third-rate actress who pimped her looks to make money, basically sold her body, doing basically semi-pornographic films, which is what Hollywood peddles mostly nowadays anyway. Sex, sex, nonstop sex, 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 nudity, sex, nudity, sex. That's all you keep getting now from Hollywood. But notice the hypocrisy. This is the same woman that gave $50,000 to be at Obama's inaugural, to go to all the balls, all the parties. This is the same woman that's contributed nearly $10,000 to Obama over the years, one gala event after another. And I have to ask myself, what goes into the mind of somebody like Sharon Stone, who will give $50,000 to go to Obama's inaugural, is one of his staunchest public supporters, who gives him thousands and thousands of dollars, claims to be this post-racial liberal, and yet is an obvious racist and bigot towards Filipinos, towards our own housekeeper. And so the question I have for you is a very simple one. Why do you think so many liberals like Sharon Stone support somebody like Barack Obama and yet are closet racists? They're obvious racists. And more than that, do you think Sharon Stone or anybody has the right to tell somebody not to read the Bible when they are working in your home? Because remember, this Filipino housekeeper, that was her home too. Does somebody have the right to tell you, even though they're your employer, if you're living there full time, not to read the Bible? Do you have a First Amendment right to read the Bible in your own free time? Or if you work for somebody else, are you basically at their beck and call and they can determine exactly what you can do or can't do? How far do your religious rights go? How do you feel? Is this woman a victim of discrimination? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Jack in Albany, New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff. This isn't going to be a positive call, but I don't agree with this at all. This is a terrible thing you're saying here. You're becoming one of them. You're being a liberal, screaming racism, and it's a private contract between her and the person there. If they want you to stand on your head, you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. It's not a big employees' union or something, right?
Well, I mean, Jack, look, she interviewed this Filipino housekeeper. She obviously knew her accent. She interviewed her. Now, the Filipino housekeeper has to communicate. Now, if you want somebody who speaks perfect English, Philippines, you're going to get a Filipino accent. So how is this poor woman supposed to communicate if she's being told, don't speak in front of my children because I don't want them to learn your Filipino accent? I mean, to me, it's demeaning, it's degrading, it's insulting. And I hate to say this, but this is racism. And the bigger point, Jack, to me is this. Look, if this woman was working in Sharon Stone's house, let's say for 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours. Well, that's something else. Now you're on my tab. I'm paying your salary. You're on my schedule. You want to read the Bible, don't read the Bible. I'm sorry, I dictate. But when you're living in my house, where she doesn't just go home after she puts in her shift, but her home is your home. Well, if she's in the privacy of her own bedroom, closing the door after hours, minding her own business, why can't she read the Bible? I bet in Sharon Stone's home she can have Playboy and Penthouse, but the Bible? No. Well, I'm sorry, but we still have religious freedom in this country. Now, if somebody on their own spare time wants to read the Bible, who is Sharon Stone to tell them they can't read the Bible?
I do see what you're saying. It seems like a real legal entanglement there with the home issue. And it's, I don't know. Can we move on to defeating Obama, please?
but that's my point, though. But this is the point. He's asking Sharon Stone for money. These are the people in Hollywood that back Obama. You see, Obama is the one that's ramming the contraceptive mandate down the throats of religious institutions. They're the ones that are trying to tell the churches, what they should think about contraception or abortion or sterilization. Look how they hate Christians. Look at the contempt they hold them with. So here you have Sharon Stone, who's supposed to be a liberated, tolerant liberal, telling this Filipino woman, A, I don't like your accent, don't talk that way, behaving like a complete racist. And number two, to me, what's even more egregious, frankly, more insulting, who is she to tell this woman on her spare time that she can't read the Bible? Since when did the Bible become Mein Kampf? Since when did the Bible become some piece of pornography? I'll tell you this, Jack, I guarantee this to all of you. If she was reading the Quran, Sharon Stone wouldn't lift a finger. Sharon Stone wouldn't have said the word. Wouldn't have said a word. But the Bible, no. That's verboten. That's forbidden in Hollywood. This shows the mindset, the anti-Christian, bigoted mindset that dominates these people in Hollywood. And yet they run to Barack Obama. And just because they give him a few dollars, they pat themselves on the back and say, look how tolerant I am. Look how liberal I am. Look how open-minded I am. Look what a non-racist I am. What makes somebody like Sharon Stone say this about her Filipino housekeeper who cares for her children? Think about that. This woman cares for your children. And then you run off and pretend to be this multicultural, tolerant liberal when you're nothing more than a cheap, hypocritical bigot? This is Hollywood in a nutshell. They're an embarrassment. And it's about time we in America said, enough is enough. Sharon Stone, if your mother didn't tell you, we don't ban the reading of Bibles. Okay? I know in Hollywood, you guys love porn and you like to pose nude. But in this country, the Bible, First Amendment rights, religious freedom, that's still something we believe in this country. 1-800-449-8255. Is Sharon Stone right or wrong? I want to hear from you, Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. We are talking about the hypocrisy of the Hollywood left and their incestuous relationship with Barack Obama. You know, what's happening now with Sharon Stone is really not very different than what has happened for much of human history. And if you bear with me, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. If you go back to the Protestant Reformation, you're going to say, Jeff, what does Martin Luther have to do with Sharon Stone? Trust me. What was the basis of Martin Luther's complaint against the Catholic Church? What created the massive schism in Western Christendom that we are still living with to this day? It's because under the Catholic Church, there was a growing abuse of indulgences, meaning that people who indulged in serious sins, mortal sins, were able to give the church money to get indulgences, and they were forgiven for their sins. They were absolved of their sins. You commit adultery? No problem. You pay enough, you're absolved. You're a thief? No problem. You pay enough, you're absolved. And they run down the whole list. What is Sharon Stone doing? It is a secular form of the very same indulgences that existed for hundreds of years. She is essentially paying Obama money, giving money to his campaign coffers, to absolve her of her supposed liberal sins. That's what she's doing. Nothing has changed, except it's no longer against the Catholic Church. It's against the Church of... She is mistreating this Filipino housekeeper. I give Obama money. I'm absolved. I'm a good person. I'm absolved of my sins. This is clearly what's happening now. And it's not just Sharon Stone. It's one Hollywood leftist after another. Have you noticed? Take George Clooney. Nobody pollutes the environment more in Hollywood than George Clooney. He's on one private jet after another. But no, 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 no. He gives money to Obama, and suddenly he's not contributing to so-called man-made global warming. No, Clooney's an all right guy. And that goes for all of them in Hollywood. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites who pay for their sins to be absolved. And furthermore, and this is why I think Hollywood is going to be a bigger and bigger story for the months and months to come. Mark my words, I'm on the cutting edge on this. If you noticed, whenever there is a conservative Republican in office, whether it be Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush, notice how the Hollywood left produces one anti-war movie after another. Under Reagan, it was Platoon. Oh, all these psychopaths in the Vietnam War, all these American soldiers butchering one another and committing war crimes senselessly, piling up bodies, bulldozing them into mass pits, according to Oliver Stone. Under George W. Bush, you had a Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11, The Green Zone with Matt Damon, one anti-Iraq war or anti-war movie after another. But now that the Marxist in chief is in the White House, now that his reelection is up, it's like a propaganda arm of the Obama campaign. Now you have Harvey Weinstein, one of the most powerful liberal producers in Hollywood. He's coming out with a movie in October. And what's this movie going to be about? It's a military movie. Oh, are they going to bash the military? No, 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 no. What a great leader Obama is. The raid on Osama bin Laden, how brilliantly executed it was. How our military performed above and beyond the call of duty. Now our military is going to be glorified. Now our commander-in-chief is going to be glorified. It has gotten so bad that on another movie they're making on the raid that killed bin Laden, Operation Geronimo, which is what the military called bin Laden, Geronimo, they even provided classified access to locations in the White House and even to some of the top commanders who oversaw that operation for Hollywood to make as glowing a propaganda film as possible. They are going to make Obama look this fall like the second coming of Dwight D. Eisenhower. That's how they're going to present him. They are in the tank for this man. And they are now going to blanket the movie theaters just before the election to manipulate the public into believing that Obama is a brilliant military statesman and that he should take all the credit for the bin Laden raid. My friends, you're going to tell me there is not an axis, a nexus between the left and Hollywood and Obama? This is like literally like the propagandists under Hitler or under Stalin. They are in the tank for the liberal regime. And they will lie, lie, lie to get their man in power. Nothing has changed here. And so let me ask you another question. Will you see a pro-military, pro-war movie on the Osama bin Laden raid, even though you know it's intended to help Obama get reelected? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our busy phone lines. Ralph in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, my pleasure. There's a groundswell of some of us in the arts. Manhattan here, an extension of the Hollywood community that you're speaking about. There are some free thinkers out here, including myself, who if we choose to go the other way, the anti-Barack way, if you will, many of us don't mention it. We feel that it would keep us from getting jobs and being cast in films and that type of thing. But the bash that Clooney held at his palace there, this is a prime example why the fix is in, Jeff. The election is bought and paid for already. Obama will do his second term, whether we like it or not. And it's a very sad state of affairs, but frankly, that's the way it is.
Ralph, look, you hit the nail right on the head. There is a new blacklist. This is essentially a form of liberal McCarthyism. If you don't vote the right way, if you don't support the dear leader, you're blackballed. You're blacklisted. Your career is finished. That's why conservatives in Hollywood, and you're right, in Manhattan, in New York, in the arts, in the theater, they have to live underground. They have to keep their politics to themselves. Now, I ask you, what's so liberal about that? What's so tolerant about that? Where's the freedom of speech? Where is the freedom of thought? Why can't you have two different points of view on an issue? Why is it constantly the liberal progressive way or the highway? This is why I've said it before. These Hollywood leftists are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. And there is no end to their hypocrisy. So not only are they peddling junk, not only are they peddling one piece of cultural garbage after another in movie after movie and after movie, but furthermore, if you don't toe the ideological line, you're finished. Now, how is that different from McCarthyism in the 1950s? It isn't. Terry in Wisconsin, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. It never ceases to amaze me how the word liberalism means freedom. And yet these people are the most horrible, oppressive, you will stay in my box or we're going to punish you people. I mean, it is just weird. I mean, I'm an old woman and I started out being liberal and I've progressively, you know, progressively morphed into being more of a libertarian conservative. And I think that really the Sharon Stone thing comes down to her just simply not vetting her potential Filipino maid, because to me, she looked at her as, oh, I'm going to be multicultural by hiring this Filipino. And then she found that she's sent an issue. Now you have to make the Bible an issue. Because we don't want you to be free. We don't
Bingo.
Want you to be free.
That was her sin. She was a Christian Filipino. That was her sin. You see, people don't understand this. There is a totalitarian mindset at the heart of modern liberalism. They are not liberals in the 19th century sense of the word. They're not tolerant. They're not. They don't believe in freedom. They're not open-minded. They are socialists. They are statists. They are Marxists. They want to control your thought and your behavior. And so for them, the greatest sin is to be a Christian. They are anti-Christian bigots. They don't like people who believe in God. They don't like people who believe in Jesus Christ. They're the ones who are tearing down the Ten Commandments from the courthouses. They're the ones who are preventing prayer in public schools. They're the ones who are ramming abortion down our throats. 50 million babies dead and counting. They're the ones that are imposing gay marriage against the will and wishes of the majority of the American people. How many Hollywood movies have you seen? I ask all of you this. Where religion and Christianity is denigrated. Where you see a molesting Catholic priest, a bigoted Protestant pastor. I can show you movie after movie after movie. It's almost like it's a form of cultural Marxism. That's what you get out of Hollywood. So now you have Sharon Stone saying this woman's sin was to have read the Bible in my house. Well, look, let me be confessional. My sister, she does well for herself. She's married to a doctor. She has two boys, my nephews. They hired a Filipino nanny, a full-time nanny. She lived at the house. She spoke with a thick accent, no problem. When she finished her work at 8, 9 o'clock at night, she went to her room downstairs. She had her own room and bathroom. She closed the door. What she did or what she reads in that room is nobody's business. My sister never asked whether she read the Bible or whether she read. Now, if you're Playboy in front of the kids or porn in front of the kids, that's a different story. But in the privacy of your own room, and that's what this Filipino woman says, look, I'm not ramming religion down the throats of her kids. I want to read the Bible in the privacy of my own bedroom. I live there. I have to have some free time. And she's telling me she doesn't want the Bible in my own room. Now you tell me, what's more intolerant? What's more bigoted? What's more anti-freedom than that? It wouldn't even have occurred to my sister to say, hey, don't read the Bible when you're behind closed doors. Hey, don't read Mein Kampf. You want to read Mein Kampf? Read Mein Kampf. Read whatever you want to read, as long as you don't peddle it to my children. Now, this shows you how intolerant Sharon Stone is. And yet, you cut a check to Obama? No problem. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. There's a story up on nationalreview.com that was actually just sent to me recently by one of the producers of the show. And what National Review points out in this article, and I think they're completely right, is have you noticed with many liberals, if somebody is considered quote-unquote cool, then everything they do is forgiven. Steve Jobs, even though he's an entrepreneur was a capitalist, was an extremely wealthy man, no problem. He's not part of the 1%. He's cool. Mark Zuckerberg, a billionaire, multiple times over. He's not part of the 1%. He's cool. Many in the Hollywood crowd, they're, quote, cool. So it doesn't matter what they do. Take Sharon Stone. She can mistreat some Filipino housekeeper. Who cares? She's cool. George Clooney can pollute the environment till the cows come home. Doesn't matter. He's cool. So if you're considered, quote, cool, then your behavior is completely excused. This is the juvenile, adolescent mindset of many people on the left. They are literally like teenagers. And so if you're cool, if you're a celebrity that they somehow admire, then all of your supposed sins get brushed underneath the carpet. That's how liberals think. Steve in Sacramento, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, thank you for having me. I worked in the studio business for 45 years. I consider myself a conservative. I go both parties and everything else, but I just wrote Vote for the Right Man. I was in the military. Okay, long story short, I worked for George,
You mean George Clooney?
Yeah, George Clooney.
Okay.
Good, great guy, everything else. But you know what? George is like, he did those movies he did. But you know what? He plays it like a dice game. Like, playing, you know, when you play the dice game, you know, you play the field. You know, you don't always bet your money on the same numbers all the time. So you play the field. We had Charlton Heston and Tom Selleck that were very conservative in Hollywood, and they always had a hard time. But, you know, George just always was a good guy and everything else, and I loved him dearly. But he played the field. He played the numbers like a crap game. You know, you just, you know, you don't put all your money on the 7, right?
Well, I mean, Steve, I got to tell you, I mean, my reading of George, I've met George Clooney as well at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I've met him on occasions. Yeah. He is a hardcore progressive. Yeah. He's not somebody who plays the field. He plays the left side of the field. He is a diehard Democrat. He despises conservatives. He despises Republicans. He despises capitalism. He's a chic, trendy liberal. He's completely predictable in all of his politics. And I got to tell you the truth. He's plastic in person. He's artificial. He's superficial. I don't understand the appeal of George Clooney. I can tell you this. The women were throwing themselves at him. They were, I mean, literally, it was pathetic. I mean, you know, people say, oh, Jeff, you're jealous. No, really, I don't care. But I was just noticing all these girls, and they lost their minds for this guy. And you can just tell the life of a Hollywood star, the temptation that's in front of you, the way you can just have women just throw themselves out. You can sleep with almost anybody. This has to affect your psyche. You live in a bubble. He has handlers everywhere he goes. He has drivers everywhere he goes. Everything is handed to him. Everybody tells him every second of the day how brilliant you are, Mr. Clooney. How smart you are, Mr. Clooney. How good looking you are, Mr. Clooney. How important you are, Mr. Clooney. And after a while, you begin to believe your own press clippings. And that's what happens to many of these Hollywood stars. Look, I meet him in D.C. They are the most narcissistic people you will ever meet. And frankly, completely uninteresting. I've seen movies made. People don't understand. This is not the theater. People think, oh, it's spontaneous acting. It is so scripted. Literally a 10-second scene. You spin the girl and you give her a kiss. It's done 100 to 150 times. Every movement, every motion, every grunt on your face is controlled by the director. You're a robot. That's all you are. Now, you look at this, and then they do that for 13 weeks of the year, and then with all that money, they basically do nothing for 40 weeks of the year? No wonder so many of them are on cocaine, because they lead meaningless, empty lives. The question I have is, why do so many Americans take these airhead, degenerate celebrities so seriously? I'll tell you this. I'd rather be run by the first 3,000 people in the Washington, D.C. phone book than by all the people in Hollywood. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. I am filling in for him. 1-800-449-8255. Michael, my buddy, congratulations on another superb book, Trickle Down Tyranny. It's an absolute blockbuster. It is being read in Washington. No matter what the liberal elites are trying to tell you, your voice, your message is being heard loud and clear. You have a lot of friends and allies in this city. They may not want to admit it, but take my word for it. You are listened to and you are read. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest sizzling must-read stories you cannot find anywhere else. And if you want to see just how cutting edge Michael is on so many issues, there is a story about the middle, slightly left side corner of michaelsavage.com, which has been there for a while, about a day, I think, that is now being followed by most other media outlets. And it is this. We have talked about Hollywood's hypocrisy, but now the Democrats' hypocrisy. In particular, their supposed accusations that Republicans are waging a, quote, war on women. it is now blowing up in their face. According to the Free Beacon, and now other media outlets who have looked into this story, although Senate Democrats are claiming that Republicans are waging a so-called war on women, and although Democrats are now poised to introduce legislation after Memorial Day, demanding that there be a piece of legislation guaranteeing fairness in wages, equal pay for both women and men. What has the media found out? What is up on michaelsavage.com? Democratic staffers under these Democratic senators, men make considerably more than women. While the Democrats are claiming Republicans are waging a war on women, while they're trying to pass legislation demanding equal pay for equal work, they are in fact not practicing what they're preaching. Full-time female staffers are consistently paid 20 to 30% less, about $20,000 less than male staffers that work for Democratic senators. And some of the worst, egregious abusers are the very same women Democratic senators who have been making such a big issue about this so-called war on women. Senator Patty Murray, Democrat, Washington. Senator Dianne Feinstein, California. Senator Barbara Boxer, California. All of these supposed female Democratic senators, big feminists, big defenders of women's rights, complaining about the so-called wage gap, the pay gap, the equity gap between men and women who work in the workplace. They're not even treating their own female employees with fairness and equity. In fact, if you look at the numbers, and this is not just these female senators, it's practically all Democratic senators, including the White House. They have many more men on staff than women in full-time positions. They're not hiring equally. They're hiring more men than women. And more than that, they are paying women $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 less per year. About 25, 27, 30, 34, 35% less than what they pay their male counterparts. So who are the sexists? Who are the ones that are practicing unfairness? Who are the ones supposedly waging a war on women? Now, if you really want to be serious about this issue and not demagogue it for an election campaign to try to gin up the feminist vote, to try to anger soccer moms and convince them to vote for that con man Obama, if you really want to understand why in many areas of American life men do are paid more, they do get paid more than women, well, generally men work more hours a week. Generally, men put in more time at the office. That's why they tend to be paid a little more. And the reason why they put in more time at the office is because many professional women are also are not just career women, they're also mothers. And so they need to spend time with their children. Now, everybody says, well, aren't the men fathers? Yes. But in the real world, mothers are more nurturing. Mothers are more committed to raising and rearing their children. Mothers are desired more by their kids to be in the home. Not that they don't want their fathers, but the mother has a more primary role in raising children. And so women tend to work fewer hours during the week and during a day than men do. And that's why when you even everything out, in fact, men are only paid about 4 or 5% more than women. there's no big discrimination against women in the workplace in terms of salary, in terms of wages, when you factored in everything else, including hours worked. But they don't want to have a serious discussion. What they want to do is trump up a phony war on women to help Obama get reelected in November, to basically con and manipulate women into thinking they're being unfairly treated and discriminated against, and that Republicans are supposed monsters and reactionaries and male chauvinists. Did it ever occur to these feminists that Republicans are married to women? That they have mothers who are women? That they have daughters who are women? That they don't want to see women discriminated against? I don't want to see my wife discriminated against. But the fact of the matter is, my wife was a very successful professional. She was a university professor. She was heading our own think tank. And then we had our beautiful boy, Ashton, who we adopted. And now my wife has essentially put her career, I wouldn't say on hold, but it's part-time. Because she wants to be a full-time mother to our son. Now, many women make that choice. And after a couple of years, when she's going to re-enter the workforce, well, she's lost a few years. And that's why she's not going to be making as much as her male counterpart. She's going to have to catch up. But to me, what is stunning about all of this is the lack of respect that Democrats have for women. So here they are demagoguing this issue, demonizing Republicans, claiming there's a war on women, when in fact they won't even pay their own staffers the same amount they pay their own female staffers, the same amount they pay their own male staffers. They're practicing discrimination. They have a pay gap. They have an equity gap. Why don't they take care of their own garden and take care of their own homes before they throw stones at other people's houses? And more than that, it's not just lack of pay. It's not just lack of promotion. It's not just the fact that, for example, most senators in the Democratic Party have male chiefs of staffs, which is the top position. That's your consigliere. That's the one who gets the most money. That's the one who's the highest paid. Never mind that most senior positions are occupied by men. And the same thing applies to Obama, Mr. Women's Rights. Leave that aside. Have you noticed that Democrats and liberals in particular always champion promiscuity of women? They always go on, women are sexual objects. They're the ones that glorify our permissive culture. They're the ones who go on, take Hollywood. Look how women are treated in Hollywood. I talked about Sharon Stone before. Who would treat their own daughters the way Hollywood directors treat Sharon Stone? Flash yourself naked on the screen. Show yourself having sex with other men. You're basically a porn star. You're a glorified porn star. The gratuitous sex, the way teenagers are treated on the screen, the way young girls, 14, 15, 16, have you noticed how sexualized they've become now in Hollywood movies? I now see movie after movie where I now see sexual scenes of 15, 16, 17-year-old girls, and it's now considered normal. Look at the lack of respect for women, their chastity, their dignity. They have been reduced to sexual objects. This is what we see in our culture. This is what you see on television. This is what you see on movies. This is what you see everywhere. And so, why do you think Democrats have so little respect for women? And let me ask some of the female listeners this. When have you felt most disrespected by a liberal as a woman? And who do you think, Obama or Romney, would have more respect for women? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. The very Democratic senators who say Republicans are waging a war on women pay women on their staffs significantly less than their male staffers. Why do you think Democrats have so little respect for women? I want to hear from you and to the women out there. When have you felt most disrespected by a liberal as a woman? 1-800-449-8255. Thomas in Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Well, the thing is, I'm quite tired of hearing about all the discrimination stuff. And I think that both Romney and Obama both cater to minorities and women, all these different things and different people way too much. To be quite honest with you, I think we'll stop hearing about discrimination when you start applying.
Thanks for that call, Thomas. Look, I think there's no question about it. Romney is a squish on many issues. There's no getting around that. He's trying to cater now to the female vote. He's sending his wife out, Ann Romney. She's going on about what a loving man Romney is, how he loves women, how he surrounded himself with women staff members, how we understand the needs of women. Look, I don't like to balkanize Americans. To me, we're all Americans, first and foremost. I don't like to say, let's go after the African-American vote, the Hispanic vote, the working class vote, the white vote, the black vote, the women vote, the male vote, the old vote, the young vote. I am tired of fracturing and splintering this country. Women have the same needs and concerns as men. They want to feed their families. They want to pay their mortgages. They want to send their kids to college. They want to have a better tomorrow than today. That to me is human. That to me is what every decent American with common sense should be thinking about. So if Romney is serious about winning the so-called women's vote, give them an economic agenda that will put jobs and bread on the table. To me, it's that simple. But what I can't stand is the hypocrisy from all of these Democrats who are trumping up a phony war on women. And then you find out, take Senator Patty Murray. She's the biggest feminist on Capitol Hill. She's the one it's like a jihad. She's going on, oh, men are paid more. Men are paid more. Women are not paid enough. Republicans are bigoted. Republicans are chauvinists. Republicans, there's a pay gap and Republicans want to keep women in the home. Well, Senator Murray, Patty, why aren't your staff, female staffers, paid as much as male staffers if you care so much? In fact, your female staffers, full-time, doing the same job as your male staffers, are paid $20,000 less. And now you want to pass legislation when you can't even uphold your own basic principles? You're a hypocrite. If your mother didn't tell you, I'm telling you, you're a hypocrite. Bernie Sanders, the avowed socialist. How many times am I going to hear him go on about women's rights? He doesn't pay his female staffers anywhere near what he pays his male staffers. So why don't they just come clean and say what everybody on Capitol Hill knows? Many of their female staffers have to leave the office at 5 or 5:30 because they have to pick the kids up at daycare. They have to make dinner at home. They have to put the kids to sleep, oversee their homework. That's what a lot of mothers do. They are juggling literally two careers, one outside the home and one in the home. That's why there's a pay discrepancy. It's called life. It's called reality. 1-800-449-8255. Why do you believe Democrats disrespect women? I want to hear from you. Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Set.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. You know, you want to know why CNN has lost so many viewers? Why its ratings have tanked? Why it's practically at a 20-year all-time low? Never mind that they're in the tank for the Clinton, for the Obama administration. Never mind that they just go off the Democratic talking points. Never mind that they have people like Piers Morgan with their annoying British accents that you can't stand to listen to. It's grating on the ears. Leave all that aside. Leave all that aside. It's one bimbo after another. I see these airhead male and female hosts and co-hosts on that on CNN, on that network. It's an embarrassment. They don't understand middle America. They don't understand what's happening in this country. They're completely detached. They live in some bubble that I have no idea. Check this out. I want all of you to check this out. You want to talk about a major culture war story? You want to talk about a story that to me gets to the heart of what Michael Savage and other conservative nationalists like myself have been talking about for the last 10 to 15 years? Language, borders, and culture. The Balkanization of America. The gradual spread of Spanish. The loss of English as a unifying national language. In Dallas, Texas, on June 5th, okay, for all of you in the Dallas area, there is a pizza patron who is offering free pizza, literally free, in Dallas. But here's the catch. What does it take to get free pizza in Dallas? If the customers order in Spanish. If you order in Spanish, free pizza, all you can eat. And here is how CNN handles the story.
Boys, if you live in Dallas and you know a pizza patron, or if you live any in the surrounding areas, yes, on June 5th, pay attention very closely to what I'm about to say. Quisiera pedir un pizza con queso y jalapeño.
Un pizza con queso y jalapeño?
If you can order in Spanish.
Que bueno. Ay, caramba.
If you can order in Spanish, you get your pizza for free on June 5th.
And in Dallas. Is-
You can get free pizza. Español. And they wonder why people, they're losing ratings. But then check this out, because I'm telling you this, this is upsetting a hell of a lot of people in Dallas. It's upsetting a lot of people in Texas. It's upsetting Jeff Cooner. Why is English being discriminated against? Why are people being given free pizza and such? You're being rewarded for speaking Spanish. It's a serious.
This has caused a huge amount of controversy because there are people on in the conservative movement who are saying this is discriminating against people who speak English. There are people
or at least can't Google Spanish phrases.
There are people on the left side of the spectrum who are suggesting that they're offended that this is stereotyping Hispanics in some way. I'm not sure.
Oh God. Oh, it just. It discriminates against people who speak English. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. What's the big deal here? They can't Google Spanish phrases. This is what passes for serious analysis on CNN? You mean to tell me of 308 million people, this is the best that CNN can come up with in terms of hosting shows? Is this what America has come to? Why should people get free pizza for ordering in Spanish? Are we now a bilingual country? Are we now a bicultural country? So if Pizza Patron thinks it can dredge up more business among the Latino community by having them come in and order in Spanish and you get free pizza, well, I'll tell you what, Pizza Patron, you're not going to get my business. You're not going to get my business. Because I am sick and tired of the English language being denigrated in this country. I'll tell you this, in Mexico, in Honduras, in Guatemala, in Argentina, they don't give out free pizza or free tacos or burritos or whatever if you speak English. They don't do that in those countries. And they shouldn't do that in those countries. And so what are we doing? We are encouraging the prevalence and use of Spanish when we should be doing the opposite, assimilating people into our way of life, into our culture, into our language. So let me get this straight. I go in to Pizza Patron in Dallas. I don't speak a word of Spanish. Call me crazy, because the official language in America should be English. It's an English-speaking country. I don't know Spanish. I know English. So I ask for a pizza. I don't get it free. I have to pay full price. But some other person, Spanish is mother tongue, or they learned it in school, or it's a second language, or whatever. You get it for free? That's fair? This is modern-day America? And CNN can't see how insulting and how explosive such a story is. I don't know why they don't Google Spanish phrases. Nothing to see here. My friends, this is why CNN is at a 20-year low in their ratings. And mark my words, count the date, May 24th, 2012. CNN is going to eventually go bankrupt. They're going to go out of business, because when you have that kind of contempt for our nation, our culture, middle American values, you are not going to last long on the air. How can you spit in the face of at least half of this country and think you can be a profitable broadcaster? You can't. And that's why newspapers are going in the tank. That's why mainstream media outlets are going in the tank. That's why CNN is going in the tank, and it's going to continue until they learn that there is no profitable market for liberalism. Stop insulting your viewers, and maybe you'll get some people who actually tune in to your shows. But the deeper issue is this. Do you think Pizza Patron should be giving out free pizzas to people who speak in Spanish? Do you believe that discriminates against people who speak English? Is this the wave of the future in America now? Are we now basically becoming increasingly a Spanish-speaking country? 1-800-449-8255. We'll be right back after this message. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. We now have a special guest calling in. Apparently, I misspoke. Some Catholics noticed. They contacted Bill Donahue, who is the head of the Catholic League. He does outstanding work. And Brother Bill is calling in to tell Brother Jeff he made a mistake. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Well, my pleasure, Bill. Go ahead.
I would just like to, I didn't hear the original myself, but many of you Catholics that called in too inflated for me. Mr. Cooner was trying to compare what Hollywood is doing today, selling favors and this, that, and the other thing, to what the Catholic Church was doing at the time prior to the Reformation in the 16th century. He was right to a point, but wrong to another point. Indulgence were being sold, but Mr. Cooner said they were being sold to forgive sins. People could go out and commit adultery or steal. And if you bought the indulgences from the priest, and let me make it clear, many priests and brothers were selling indulgences, but not all were corrupt. There were many holy men. The indulgences did not forgive the sin. You had to go to confession. The indulgence contributed to the remission of the sin. By the remission of the sin, we mean all mortal sins send you to purgatory. And by buying more indulgences, the church was saying you will spend less time in purgatory. There was no truth in that. You could buy all the indulgences you want, but that only the good Lord would decide how much time you're going to spend in purgatory. The church asked you to say rosaries or certain prayers to gain indulgences, which would apply to the remission of sins. But an indulgence by itself could forgive no sin at the worst period in the church history.
Bill, listen, you're completely right. I was wrong. I misspoke. Bill, just for the record, my ancestors come from Catholic Croatia. I'm a devout Catholic. We were on the side of the church against Martin Luther.
Several people said you were first trying to thought you were complimenting, but didn't realize that you weren't saying it totally correct. I was just amazed, I have to be honest with you, that so many were astute to that little technical point.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, people are on guard. And listen, Catholics were persecuted in this country now by this administration. You see it with the contraceptive mandate. You see it on issue after issue. And they're right to hold me accountable. You know, it's talk radio. You say things, you misspeak. But Bill, you're dead on, buddy.
And we as Catholics, as Christians, do not stand up. They are trying to eliminate us. They would like to shut us down, but they will not.
Bill, let me ask you this before I let you go, since I have you on the air. Do you think that enough Catholics are going to come out in key swing states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, because of this contraceptive mandate, and vote Obama down and tilt the election to Mitt Romney?
I do, because I've spoken to people who, well, say Catholics, yes, I practice birth control, but that's my choice. But I know the church doesn't allow it, and that's the way the church has to stay. And they can't tell the church what to do. If I choose to sin, that is my business. But they cannot tell the church to change its teachings to accommodate anyone.
In other words, Obama is not the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Benedict is.
Excuse me?
Obama is not the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church.
Benedict is. Benedict the 16th is the Pope, and there will be no change whatsoever. And even Catholics that don't like the birth control law and rule don't want it touched, because they know that it comes from a divine authority. This is part of the truths of the Catholic Church. This is dogma, and you cannot interfere with that. We may not like it, but we certainly don't want anybody to tell the church it's got to change. That's for me or someone else as an individual. I want to break the law. That goes on my conscience.
Bill, God bless you, buddy. Thanks for calling, and thanks for correcting me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your humility.
Take care. Take care, Bill. Okay, my friends, back to pizza. What do you think?
Oh, ay, caramba!
I mean, do you guys think that pizza should be given out for free if you ask for it in Spanish? Because this is what they're doing in Dallas, Texas. Is this discrimination against people who speak English? And frankly, will you be going to Pizza Patron? I want to hear from you. Louis in Houston, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I am so infuriated about this situation. I was born in Puerto Rico, and I know that I speak with an accent. But the immigrant that came over here from the other country, they wanted to be part of the American dream. They want to be American. Not this baloney about trying to shove this Hispanic and all this foreign language into our throat. And I want to make this as brief as possible. Here, whenever you have a young man that wants to go to college, an American-born young man wants to go to college, he wants to have a part-time job, he's afraid to go get a part-time job because he's been intimidated when these people speak in Spanish and in a McDonald's or in any job that they're trying to acquire. Whenever I go to one of those places, I ask, if they start talking to me in Spanish, when I make the orders, I call the supervisor and I say, why the hell are these people talking in Spanish when this is the United States of America? And if they can't take it, I don't care what anybody says. I will send firm for this. And remember on page, on chapter 3, when Michael Savage said from the beginning, look out when Mr. Eisenhower, our beloved general, warned the nation about the lookout for the military-industrial complex. This is an infiltration that's been happening for years. And they
Louis, you are completely right. We are slowly being annexed by Mexico. Let's put our cards on the table. And you're completely right. I cannot go to a fast food restaurant in Washington, D.C. and order in English. Everything is in Spanish. All the cooks, everybody in the back, they're all speaking Spanish. And all I'm thinking is, what if some schmuck wants to apply for a job here and he doesn't know Spanish? He's a foreigner in his own country. And Louis, I gotta tell you this, because I really admire you, my friend. Look, you speak with an accent, God bless you. My mother spoke with an accent. My mother came from Eastern Europe. My mother always had a thick accent. But let me tell you this, when she came, the first thing she did was she asked my father to teach her English. And you know what she did? God bless her. Every day, she learned 10 new English words. Until she knew 500 words after 50 days, 2 months. And then she said, I know 500 words, and now I'm going to go and speak my 500 words and learn English. And by the end of her life, English was her first language. This was the melting pot. This was assimilation. This is what our civilization used to stand for. Now, instead of foreigners coming in and respecting our house, our laws, our customs, our traditions, we have to accommodate ourselves to them. I'm sorry. If I go to Mexico, I learn Spanish. If you come to America, you learn English. That's all. I'm not asking for anything different. That's all. That's it. Courtney in Houston, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say that I actually lived in Mexico for the last 3 years, and I just recently moved back to Houston. And it's ludicrous. They would not cater to the English language down there like they're catering to the Spanish up here. And I completely agree. It really upset me when tourists would go down there and they would expect for the Mexicans to know English. And I thought it was so disrespectful that they weren't trying to learn more Spanish. You're in their country, just like they're in our country. English is the first language. And I'm tired. This country is just pissing me off lately as far as everything's concerned. And I love Mexicans. I love living in Mexico. I absolutely love it. But on so many different levels, I mean, in the same sense, like I had
Look, you just heard an immigrant from Puerto Rico or whatever, a person from Puerto Rico. He's not an immigrant. It's the territory of the United States. But a person from Puerto Rico say, why am I being served in Spanish? I go to a local Mexican restaurant. We go about once every 2 weeks. The owner is from Mexico. His children were born in America. He tells me it's ridiculous how this country is catering to the Spanish language. He said, look, you come to Mexico, you learn Spanish. I came to America. I left Mexico for a better life. I am now in your house. I will respect your rules, your ways, your traditions. Now, if he wants to speak Spanish with his kids in the house, that's his business. But in his restaurant, they only speak one language, and that's English. Michael in Springfield, quickly, go, baby.
I agree with you guys about the language and how it's being butchered and catering to the Spanish, but I think you're blowing this out of proportion. I couldn't believe I heard you whine about it being fair that someone gets the order in Spanish and get it free and I have to pay.
Why? Why should somebody be rewarded for speaking Spanish? That's discrimination. This to me is unbelievable. Are we not in America or we are in America? Is English not the language of this country? Or have I moved to Mexico?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, one last time, thank you so much for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. Every time I do your show, I can't tell you what a treat it is. Superb show, outstanding audience. For all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for some of the best, most unique stories that you cannot find anywhere else. Absolute gem of a website. If you have not bought Trickle Down Tyranny, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and get it. It's a classic. You know, you want to talk about the balkanization of America. You want to talk about the retreat of the English language and the English culture in the face of multiculturalism, in the face of illegal immigration, what Michael Savage calls language, borders, and culture. There is no clearer example than the clip I played before, and we're going to play it again right now. In Dallas, Texas, on June 5th, if you're in Dallas, go to Pizza Patron, because if you know Spanish, or you come from a Spanish-speaking country, or you're an illegal immigrant, and you can't say a word in English, don't worry about it. All you have to do is order a pizza in Spanish, and you get it for free. Boys, roll the clip.
If you live in Dallas and you know a Pizza Patron, or if you live any in the surrounding areas,
yes,
on June 5th, pay attention very closely to what I'm about to say. Quisiera pedir un pizza con queso y jalapeño.
Un pizza con queso y jalapeño?
If you can order in Spanish.
Que bueno. Ay, caramba.
If you can order in Spanish, you get your pizza for free on June 5th.
And in Dallas.
I mean, look at these airheads on CNN.
Oh, ay, caramba.
Ay, caramba. I mean, this is what passes for serious news analysis on CNN now? And they wonder why they're at a 20-year all-time low in their ratings? They're tanking completely? Getting wiped out by Fox? Wiped out by MSNBC even? That North Korea? Even North Korean TV?
Oh, ay, caramba!
This is why. And you want to ask yourself why we're losing our country? You want to ask yourself why we have a porous sore on the border? It is a bleeding sore. People are just coming in from all over with impunity, breaking our laws. And then when they come here, they don't have to learn English. They can even get free pizza. If you're in Dallas, Texas, you speak Spanish, you get free pizza. This is what, and these people, our liberal elites at CNN and other places, they find this funny. This to them is a big laugh.
Oh, ay, caramba.
This is what passes now for in-depth analysis at CNN. You want to know why the country's being taken over by a third world invasion? You want to know why illegal immigrants are just running roughshod over our language and our culture and our traditions? Look at these clowns at CNN. Even when you raise a complaint about it, the obvious one being, this is discrimination against people who speak English. This is literally akin to whites only at a public fountain. So if I speak Spanish, I get pizza.
Oh, ay, caramba.
But if I speak English, I got to pay full price. So Spanish is now preferred and favored and privileged over English. And look at how these airheads on CNN talk about all the criticism that's now coming on Pizza Patron. Boys, roll the clip.
This has caused a huge amount of controversy because there are people on, in the conservative movement who are saying this is discriminating against people who speak English. There are people people on the left side of the spectrum who are suggesting that they're offended that this is stereotyping Hispanics in some way. I'm not sure.
Like it caused controversy. They can't Google in Spanish. They can't Google in Spanish. That's CNN. Now, look at how much we've changed as a country. Before previous waves of immigration, people came here to learn English. They came here to learn our culture, to assimilate, to become Americans. They left their heritage behind them to become part of the fabric of the United States of America. In fact, I know my mother, as I told you, she always spoke with an accent. That's she came when she was later in life and she couldn't overcome her accent. But by the end, all she did was speak in English. I know people whose parents worked so hard to speak English, they didn't even want to speak in an accent. Never mind speak a foreign language. Now, why? Why did this country insist on a melting pot? Why did this country insist on assimilation? Is it because they were racist against the Italians and the Irish and the Chinese and the Germans and all the other immigrants who came wave after wave after wave and built this country into the greatest superpower in the history of the world? No. Because they understand that for a nation and a culture to survive, you must have one unifying language, one common bond that holds us all together. Where does it end? If today it's Spanish you give out free pizza for, what about Japanese? What about Korean? What about Arabic? I could go on and on. What about French? What about Filipino? What if they all say, no, we don't want to learn English anymore. You serve us in our language that we brought with us. It's the Tower of Babel. We are going to disintegrate as a country. We are going to become literally ghettoized in ethnic enclaves. That's what's going to happen. This is why this is not just an issue about Pizza Patron giving out free pizza on one day to people who speak Spanish. This is about who we are as a nation or as a people. And I guarantee you, 30, 40, 50 years ago, they wouldn't even have tried a stunt like this. Because they know if they even tried it, they would lose. Their business would go bankrupt overnight. Every good, decent American would say, I'm not going to that restaurant. You mean to tell me you're not encouraging assimilation? You're encouraging people to speak in their native languages from the countries they left behind? Now, look, people say, Jeff, you're a nativist. No, I'm not. I love Mexico. I have been to Mexico. I love Mexican food. I love Mexican culture. I love Mexican people. Frankly, I'm a devout Catholic. I love their religious heritage. I love Mexico. But if you want to be Mexican, stay in Mexico. If you want to be German, stay in Germany. If you want to be Japanese, stay in Japan. God bless you. But when you're in America, you have to become an American. If I want to live in Mexico, I'm telling you, I'm going to learn Spanish. If I want to live in Germany, I'm going to learn German. Now, it's no different. Do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. So the Mexican government requires assimilation. The Japanese government requires assimilation. The German government requires assimilation. Suddenly in America, we can't require assimilation now. Suddenly now it's a sin, it's a crime to insist that you should be served in English and that you should not encourage people to speak a foreign language. Now look, businesses are flexible. I understand that. I came from a very multi-ethnic city and area and neighborhood. Yes, people don't learn English right away. It takes them time. You want to serve your customers. You help them out. You say, okay, I kind of understand what you're saying. No problem. Here it is. Here's your food or here's your pizza. Have a nice day. But what this guy is doing, it's just unbelievable.
Oh, ay caramba.
Ay caramba. So if I speak English, I have to pay. But if I speak Spanish, I get it for free. Tell me, am I living in the United States of Argentina? Have we suddenly been occupied by Mexico? Have we lost the Southwest? Have the Mexicans reannexed the Southwest? Did we lose the War of 1848? Because I remember us winning that war. But maybe that's just me. And so the question... 1-800-449-8255. Is it right to privilege people who order pizza to be given for free if they speak in Spanish? I want to hear from you, Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. What do you think about Patron Pizza in Dallas offering free pizza on June 5th to those who order in Spanish? To immigrants out there, are you insulted? Didn't you think part of embracing the American dream was to learn and speak in English? To the children of immigrants, why did you bother to learn English if they'll serve you in your parents' native language? To everybody out there, is this not an insult to our heritage, to our traditions, to our common language? I mean, can you imagine if you're some illegal immigrant, which you must be thinking, look at these dumb gringos. Look at the dumb gringo. He's even going to offer me free pizza if I keep my own language and speak Spanish. He's not even asking me to learn English, to even adopt the American way and the American national identity. That's how little he believes in his own country. Or am I just making too much of this? Is this too much about nothing? Maybe people just don't care anymore. Maybe this is the way of the world now. We live in a globalized world, and it's all multilingual and multicultural, and there are no borders anymore, and people can speak whatever language they want. Hey, as long as they're making money, who cares? 1-800-449-8255. Mary in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mr. Cooner. I did not know you were Croatian. My best friend is Croatian from the island of Zlatin. And she's the president of the Middlesex County Right to Life chapter. There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, a lot of very pro-life Croatian Catholics, believe me.
Absolutely. She's a wonderful, wonderful young lady. And, Mr. Cooner, I am an immigrant to this country. I was born in Poland in 1963, and my parents, my mother and my father and I, came to the United States via Scandinavian Airlines, SAS, in 1964. I was a year old. And your caller, the Spanish man who said he, you know, was insulted when he's ordering fast food and the fellow starts speaking to him in Spanish, it really reminded me of my dad. And I never really understood this, you know, when I was a teenager, for instance. We'd be out in public somewhere and I would speak to my father in Polish and he would stop me, you know, and he would say, stop, you know, as if he was embarrassed. And it's interesting because I, you know, was very much embracing my culture almost as... I can't explain it, but growing up, you know, I grew up in an ethnic town where there were other Polish people. And, you know, this happens often when immigrants come over. You go to where you have people that are the same as you, correct? And, you know, I went to a Catholic school, which was run by Catholic nuns and Polish-speaking nuns. And I have to say, something interesting happened in second grade where a Polish young lady came to the school. And my entire second grade school year was a blur because they sat her with me. And I was her personal translator. So interesting in education how, you know, that was done that way, too. She was not a serious student, you know, and was basically goofing off all year. And I was so frustrated. And it was such a disservice, you know, to myself to be doing that in school.
Mary, look, your experience is in many ways very similar to my parents' experience. My father ended up speaking perfect English. Literally, he travels so much for his company, and a lot of business is done in Texas. People think he's from Texas because he actually has a Texas twang, which is amazing. He came when he was, what, 16 years old? My mother came a little bit later, so she never lost her accent. But, I mean, look, my mother always said this to me. If I wanted you to be raised Croatian, I would not have left Croatia. Period. Full stop. Now, yes, it's your heritage. It's where your parents come from. You shouldn't be embarrassed of it. You know, if you want to speak a little Croatian in the home, or that's fine. But when you're in public, when you're outside the home, when you're dealing with other people in society, you speak English because this is now your homeland. This is now your country. They are the ones that rescued you. They are the ones that gave us freedom and a safe harbor from communist persecution. So you don't insult the country that welcomed you by not adopting their ways. It's really that basic. It's that simple. And more than that, on a very self-interested level, my mother always told me, you cannot truly rise and succeed unless you master the English language. And you know what shocks me? Is I hear from immigrants that they want to learn English. But from liberal elites, they keep telling them, oh, no, stick to Arabic, retain your Russian, retain your Spanish, be as multilingual and multicultural as possible. It's holding them back. In fact, in Washington, D.C., I have to deal with a lot of African-American students. I mentor them. I keep telling them, stop with this ghetto English. Speak proper English. You want to advance? It's that simple. Nobody will take you seriously unless you speak proper English. My friends, it's really that simple. It's not more complicated than that. One nation, one culture, one language. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Set.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. James in Pennsylvania, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, thanks for taking my call this evening. You know, the English language is the greatest thing that unites us all as Americans. Okay, and what Peter Padron is doing right now is making it a game to stay multiculturalist, to keep the Spanish language in America. And what kind of irks me about this is the way that the Valley Girls on CNN are reporting this, when a few years ago, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a gentleman who owns a sub shop in Philadelphia who would not take an order unless you placed it in English. Okay, and he also assisted you. If you could not speak English, he showed you how to order what you wanted in English. But yet, he was demonized for doing this, for making you order in English. But yet, we have what Pisa Padron is doing on the 5th of June.
Ay, caramba!
I mean, look, James, I couldn't have said it better myself. I know for a fact that if you insist on speaking English in a restaurant or in some kind of public establishment, and you will not respond to people unless they respond back to you in English, you could be facing a lawsuit. You could be considered a civil rights violation. But it's okay for you to speak Spanish and actually be rewarded for it and be privileged and get free pizza. So tell me, if I'm non-Spanish speaking, am I not being discriminated against? I mean, this to me is unbelievable. And so, look, the reason why Spanish is a much more explosive issue, the Spanish language, than other languages, because we do have such an immense illegal immigrant population. Look, people don't understand these numbers. Stalin once said, you murder one person, it's a tragedy. You murder a million, it's a statistic. meaning that the numbers are so big they're mind-numbing. So you throw these numbers out and people think, oh, they're just numbers. It means nothing. There are now 20 million illegal immigrants in this country. If you add that to legal immigrants who come from Spanish-speaking countries, you are now looking at a population in total of 50 to 60 million in America who come primarily from Spanish-speaking cultures or countries. That is Germany. That is the size of Italy. That is the size of France. And this has all been done, in essence, in about 20 to 30 years. Basically in about a generation or two. That's how much we've imported into this country. An entire nation, an entire European nation, has practically been absorbed into this country over the last 30 to 40 years. Well, of course, if you don't insist on English and assimilation and a melting pot, you're going to disintegrate. Don't even take my word for it. Go to Arizona, go to Texas, go to New Mexico, go to Los Angeles, go to Southern California. I can't hear English being spoken anymore. It's as if they have been re-annexed by Mexico. Look, Los Angeles, that to me is a travesty. You cannot go to any place, especially in East Los Angeles, and hear English being spoken. It's like I'm in a foreign country. You go to a McDonald's, everybody orders in Spanish. Everybody. You order in English, I don't think they understand what you've ordered. I can't believe it. Uno Big Mac, uno French fry. I'm like, am I in Mexico? No, I'm in Los Angeles. And this is happening within a generation or two. It is unbelievable. Look, I got to tell you this. To me, you want to know the biggest culture shock? I kid you not. Of coming to Washington, D.C., everybody says, is it the corruption? Is it the politicians? Is it Capitol Hill? Is it journalism and how seedy many of them are and backstabbers and liars? And no, literally, I'm telling you, the biggest culture shock that I have living in Washington, D.C., is how many restaurants, and in particular, fast food restaurants, it's Spanish only. It's a Spanish person at the cash. It's a Spanish person in the back. It's all Spanish. I go to Five Guys. I think they have wonderful burgers. Okay, it's a big thing here in Washington. Every time I go to a Five Guys, I don't know anymore what it is to order a cheeseburger in English. I'm telling you, I don't know. I just point, yeah. And I go, okay, ketchup, yeah, mustard, yeah, I just point. Yeah, okay, uno, okay. Uno, French fry. This is how, I mean, the last time I ordered a burger in English, I kid you not, I was in France. I was in France. And I was struggling with my French, and the person said, no, I speak English, go ahead, what do you want? Okay, cheeseburger. I was almost like, oh my God, how do you like it? Medium? I almost can't pronounce it anymore. I forgot. What else would you like on it? Mustard? Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. Relish? Yeah, it's coming back to me now. It's all coming back to me now. I don't just point now. I can actually pronounce it. This is how bad things have happened in Washington, D.C. And if you say anything about this, anything, racist, bigot, nativist, I'm like, we're losing our country. We are becoming a multicultural, multilingual empire. This is like the Austro-Hungarian Empire. This is like the Soviet Union. This is like Yugoslavia. Different languages, different cultures, different religions, different traditions, everybody being balkanized. So what holds us together anymore? Nothing. The only thing that the liberals keep telling us is it's the economy. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that they says still holds us together. That video games, ordering pizza. Well, even that, you can do it in any language now. But pizza, junk food, whatever. Pornography, Hollywood, consumerism, consume. Eat and spend. Eat and spend. Eat and spend. That's what it means now to be an American. They don't teach you about the Revolutionary War. They don't teach you the Constitution.
The Declaration of Independence, you're lucky if you find 1 out of 10 students who can recite the Declaration of Independence. Forget the Civil War. Forget the Gettysburg Address. You can forget that. You forget that. That's like an ancient language. That's like ancient Greek. Forget that. We don't celebrate common holidays. Look, Memorial Day is coming up on Monday. Now, I'm going to ask all of you, really. I know the listeners of the Savage Nation, you're unique. You're middle America. But your neighbors, people around you, how many people are really going to celebrate that holiday? Not with a barbecue and hamburgers and hot dogs, but really remember those that have fallen for this country. Remember our battles. Remember our wars. Remember our fallen heroes. Do you know that 30, 40, 50 years ago, Memorial Day was full of speeches? It's like Independence Day, 4th of July. It actually was known for its brilliant oratory. People would go out and listen to dazzling speeches on street corners as people would talk about the meaning of the Declaration of Independence, the meaning of the Revolutionary War, the meaning of the wars that we all fought, sacrificed, and died in. All of us together, collectively. That's gone. Gone as gone can be. What you are seeing is a social and cultural transformation, a revolution, take place right in front of our very eyes. And the goal of these liberal elites is to destroy America's national identity itself, the very sense of our nationhood. This is why you have Barack Obama. Remember, this is a key point because it says everything you need to know about him, about liberalism, and about the ruling regime. When he was still running for president, if you remember in those heady days of 2008, he went to Berlin, to the Brandenburg Gate, and in front of hundreds of thousands of screaming, adoring Germans and Europeans, he told them not that he's a citizen of America, not that he's an American, but that he comes to them as a citizen of the world. The world. Where's your passport? Is there a world passport? Is there a world constitution? Is there a world army? Who gave you your freedoms? Who gave you the opportunities to be a man who's now president of the United States? Who gave you all the privileges and benefits and rights and freedoms that are almost unimaginable in any other country? A father who's Kenyan, a mother who is some hippie, and because of his grandparents and other factors, he rose to become president of the United States, the father of a Kenyan, in one generation to become leader of the free world, and instead of thanking your country, instead of being proud to be an American, instead of saying, my God, what did George Washington and James Madison and Thomas Jefferson bequeath to us that me, the son of an immigrant, of a Kenyan immigrant, can become the greatest leader, the leader of the greatest country in the world in one generation? I am an American and thank God for it. No, he's a citizen of the world. Because in the end, you want to know what the left believes America is and what they want it to be? A natural resource for the world. It's not a nation. It's not a country with a unique culture and a unique language and borders that define it and protect it. We are nothing more than an endless spigot of money to give to the third world peoples, to give to the UN, and to have anybody come here whoever wants to be. Whoever wants to come, come on in. Well, if everybody can come, if everybody can be an American, then who's really an American? If some person can just come here and order in Spanish or Japanese or Arabic or Russian or Swedish and get rewarded for it, what does it mean to be an American? Nothing. And that's the point. Diddy in Virginia, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. Okay, we'll go to break. We'll go to break. 1-800-449-8255. I'll take all of your calls right after this break. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Carlos in the great state of Hawaii. You're on the Savage Nation.
How's it going, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you, Carlos?
How you doing, Jeff? I'd like to start by saying I am born and raised Puerto Rican. My first language is Spanish. And I joined the Army in 1979, and I could speak very little English, but I had to learn English in order to be proficient at my job. And I believe with all my heart that if you want to live and work in this country, you should be required to speak English proficiently. And if you work in an environment where you have to provide customer service, you should be able to speak and communicate clearly and proficiently. And that is my pet peeve. I cannot stand it when I have to go someplace and they don't even understand what I'm saying, whether it's in Spanish or in Hawaii, Filipinos, Chinese, Korean, Japanese. This is America, and we should be speaking English.
You know, Carlos, you make excellent points, but you know, it's funny. Do you remember when immigrants who used to come here, they part of them becoming citizenship would be they'd have to take history classes, civics classes, and learn English.
That's
how
correct.
Come we don't have people who come to this country, who immigrate here, take basic English classes and pass English exams? If you can't speak English, if you can't meet basic requirements, you don't get citizenship. Is that, Carlos, is this crazy to even propose this?
It is correct. I agree wholeheartedly because, again, it's what separates us from the rest of the world. This is the United States of America, not America as a whole, okay? And in California, it irked me that you could actually go to the DMV and get your driver's license in any language. You don't have to speak English.
Oh, I know. I mean,
we got some of the worst drivers in the world in California and Hawaii and other places like this because they don't even know how to read our signs in English.
Exactly. Carlos, exactly. Brilliant call, buddy. Thank you for calling. They can't read the signs because they're not proficient in English. And that means they're a threat and a risk to public safety. Look, I got to tell you this. You're right about California, almost any language. In Washington, D.C., you can basically completely function in the Spanish language. DMV, they'll serve you in Spanish. Telemundo, you can watch television. You can watch television. Never learn a word of English. Any government document, they'll translate it for you in Spanish. There is workplace, you can speak Spanish. And many jobs, you can speak. When they were building the house that I'm living in right now, I would go on the work site. The only person, there'd be like 25, 30 workers, construction people. The foreman spoke English. Nobody else spoke English. Nobody. Nobody. You say hello, they just look down. They don't know. Hello. Nothing. You can basically get by in Washington, D.C. and not know a word of English.
Oh, ay, caramba.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a certain point where I think we have to ask ourselves, are we a nation or are we not a nation? And Carlos makes another brilliant point. We're not the divided states of America. We're not the multicultural states of America. We're not the European states of America or the Asian states of America. We're the United States of America. Well, what unites us if not our language? not our customs, not our culture, not our history, not our myths, not our heroes, not our constitution, if not our founding? What unites us? And what is so beautiful and rare about America, and I don't think Americans understand the gift that was given to them, is what George Washington and what our founding fathers said was this: you don't have to be English, you don't have to be Scottish, you don't have to be German, you don't have to be Irish, you don't have to be a certain ethnicity to be an American. All you have to do is learn English, respect the Constitution, and respect this country's founding principles. In other words, embrace what has been given to you. And regardless of your background, regardless of your religion, regardless of your skin color, regardless of where you came from, you are equal under the eyes of God and underneath the law of the United States. What is more beautiful? What is more fair? What is more generous than that? And instead of being grateful for that, instead of embracing that, instead of saying thank God for that, we are about to throw it all away. The big issue of our time, as Michael Savage rightly says, is language, borders, and culture. My friends, if we do not defend them, then America will be no more. And for that, the world will be much poorer, and I will mourn that day when it comes. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.